So we have this emphasis on the Spirit, and so that can help us too, because we don't just think of God as out there away from us or only living in the past in the body of Jesus, but the present Spirit is at work in us now. And that Spirit is what gives us breath and life. So the words for Spirit in both Hebrew and Greek are the same word as the word for breath and wind. And so so you've got the breath of God giving us life and being our soul. And as that breath moves through the rest of the created world, that's the Spirit of God moving around and in between and through all of the created things. So that sense of the Spirit is what's enlivening, and it's that creative power that breaks down that dichotomy between the order and chaos of some of the creation myths. And instead, we've got that enlivening Spirit that is moving around and giving life and creativity to everything. All right. So one other thing that helps us as Quakers is, so we've been accused of moving the Reformation from the priesthood of all believers to the prophethood of all believers. So we don't have so many priests within the Quaker tradition, but we have prophets. We have people who speak truth to power, and we don't necessarily have kings either. So that, you know, prophet, priest, and king idea of those are the kind of roles of church leadership, we break down and we say, the prophet, the one that God speaks through, is speaking truth to those other modes of power. So within the Quaker tradition, we have ways to break into those other areas of our life as a culture and to say we need to be really refocusing back on what's important about our faith tradition and refocusing on the heart of things. God doesn't care about our rituals and our beliefs. God cares about our relationship and our actions. And finally, we have the testimony of simplicity. So this sense that we have always, at least as long as we've been intentionally being Quakers, we've had this emphasis on simplicity of not using more than we need and making sure that each person has what they need and not being overly gaudy and not adorning our meeting houses more than necessary, although you have a beautiful space here. But it's not exactly the gaudy, ornate space of some traditions, worship spaces, but this sense that simplicity is important to us, that we don't need a lot in order to follow God. We could meet outside like some of the early friends did. We could meet in a home. We can meet in, restaurant, we can meet wherever, and that's not as important. So this helps us, of course, with not needing to be a part of the consumer culture in the same way that a lot of people in our culture are. So if we live into that testimony of simplicity regarding environmental concerns, I think that we could find that our tradition has a lot to say about what we do and don't need and when we have enough, and trusting God. So some of those things that we talked about in the books of the law of trust and recognizing when we have enough, and that allows us to rest and to not always have to be anxious and fearful that we won't be able to keep up with the Joneses or whatever. So for those of us who can practice simplicity and releasing others around us from the fear of not having enough by not taking more than we need. All right, so we've got this kind of both-and thing going on, right? So in the things that we talked about at the beginning, we've got both transcendence and immanence of God. God is both present and separate. We've got the body and the spirit as important and integral parts of what it means to be a person of God. The kingdom of God is within us and is not yet fully realized. And it's present here in our midst, not just in some spiritual realm. We're interconnected with one another. We're connected and related to each other, just like the persons within the social trinity. And salvation and grace and sin are personal and communal. So we have personal responsibility and personal grace that we receive and love. and we have collective responsibility and collective grace. So bringing all of those things together, instead of only focusing on one side of each of those areas, can help us. And then these problems and potentials within Quaker theology, I put them all on one page so that you can see them again, that we have some great things about what it means to be a Quaker. And if we live them well, I think that we could move forward into an eco-reformation in the power of the Spirit and meet some of the, meet our particular part of the need of this time and place. But we have some things that we get off track on and that we need to do a little bit of work on and have some humility about and willingness to change and grow with the creative power of the Spirit flowing through us. So that's it for this session. I wonder if you have questions or comments or thoughts about, particularly about those problems and potentials within Quakerism that you want to share. And I'll actually bring a microphone around.